You're listening to the Chick Chat Podcast with hosts Danielle and Sarah. Woo! Let's get to it. Fuck yeah.
Hello and welcome back to the Chick Chat Podcast. It's your girl Sarah over here with my girl Danny. Girl. Nice.
Hey.
Danny gal, what's going on?
Nothing. Like, can you believe that it's been since fucking August? No, wait. I think it was August. No. I'm trying to think when the last
time we did this was very long. I don't even want to think about the last time we did this. It was very long.
It makes
long.
Me really sad.
Embarrassing. Honestly, the summer was a blip. I think between me working 4 jobs and you working 6, because you had clients. Oh my God. It was really, really hard.
I know.
I didn't have time to brush my hair. So now I have an afro and it's kind of scary. I mean,
but at least you haven't lost the scrunchies that I got you in Vancouver.
Oh my God. They're my favorite. I have so many scrunchies and now people comment on them. They're like, Sarah, where's your scrunchie? Oh my God. You're not wearing a scrunchie today. I'm like, yes, I am. It's in my backpack. But like,
you just haven't put it in yet.
It's my thing.
You are my the scrunchie
little,
girl.
My little cousin. Hilarious. She's like
and
10.
And you're wearing the earrings I got you in Calgary. So from my Tour de fucking France in Canada.
Actually, these are other ones because you got me ones with pearls. But yeah, they're from Simon's too.
Oh, I thought I got you those.
No, you got me pearly hoops, but that's okay. Still love ya.
Okay, but also I have those. That's why I thought. Cause
you
I,
do?
Yes, I have them.
You do?
I bought those and the pearly ones, and then I thought that when I saw them
today.
Oh my
God. Well, my ear's mega infected, so if anyone how to fucking heal it, let me know, because I'm about to decapitate my earlobe.
Alcohol peroxide, hello.
Apparently I'm not supposed to do that. It's supposed to be like sea salt, but like twice a day, but I'm like, who has time for that?
Polysporin?
Polysporin. Do you have any? I should put some on.
Yes, later. I'm gonna lose my hearing after the pod, because we don't want you to have an American Horror Story moment where you just like lose your ear.
Yeah.
Again. You don't know what I'm talking about, but it's okay because I'm like obsessed with the new American Horror Story.
I can't watch that show. It's too scary.
It's fucking scary, but I'm obsessed with it.
Oh, I don't like it.
I'm super
I like
obsessed.
It because it's like cool, but it actually scares me, so I can't watch it.
That's
but
okay.
I'm like, damn it. One day I'll be brave enough.
Yeah.
Okay, Danny, what the fuck is up?
Honestly, there's so much that's up.
I know.
So
we're like new people.
I know. So I have a new job.
Yes.
Congrats. I mean, it's not really like new, but I've like went back to the company that I was working
for before. No, it is. It's a brand new job. You have a new role.
Yeah.
You are back at a different company. It's amazing.
And I dropped 2 of my fucking degen clients. So see ya fucking never, you pieces of shit. Like literally, thanks for everything, but also goodbye forever.
Yeah.
And
thank you for your money.
I got a significant raise in my new role, and I bought a new lamp, an ottoman, and I'm just living my best life.
You are literally killing it. She has her own apartment. It's furnished. She's adulting 101. She's winning.
Literally every time you come over, I'm like, I wonder what Sarah thinks of like the fact that I like have this.
I'm proud of you. I'm so proud of you.
I'm proud of me too.
Good job.
I love me.
What does Sarah think of this? What do you even mean? Obviously, it's sick.
I mean, I like affirmations. You know this.
Fine. I'll be more complimenting of all your accomplishments.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming to my
party.
House.
Oh, yeah. True. House party.
House party.
What the fuck is up with you?
Oh my goodness. A lot is up with me as well.
We haven't seen each other in so long.
We haven't seen each other in a month. I've been literally in Alaska. Not really. But
I literally was like are
that.
We even friends anymore? Like,
honestly,
I questioned our friendship.
I have been so busy that there have been like 12-hour periods I haven't even had my cell phone in my hand or haven't even looked at it. Like a scary amount of times. So,
like, I literally
don't worry. You feel neglected. The rest of my life feels neglected.
Like, I was like,
my mom is literally texts me being like, "Are you alive?" And I'm like, "Yes." And that's all I have to say to her. And she's like, "Good." That's
you
like,
you literally are like, "Yes." This is all I have time to respond. Is yes. Like, yes, not even a period.
No,
and then go to the next task.
Literally, it honestly, it's been really busy, but it's been good. I settled up a contract with one job, and I also started a new job today.
Whoop,
this
whoop.
Week as well.
We are PR fucking bitches.
We are both PR bitches now. We're
living
back at
us.
It again.
Back at it again
with the public relations. So
yes,
busy. Well, I feel like my name is Sarah Busy Murray because that's always a thing. But Oh, I also didn't tell you. I've also dropped some of my part-time gigs.
Honestly, like, when you have good income coming in and, like, a couple side things here and there, like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because you never want to, like, really rely on just, like, one form of income. But, yeah, like, all the other shit that,
all
like, is just, like,
the blogs I've ever read, they're like, you have to diversify your income. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that. But then I'm like, oh, look, I have more money and I spend it, which is not good. We need to get a financial expert on here because they need to help me. I could be their case study.
Me too.
I'm willing to be a guinea pig, a lab rat. Just be like, you know what? Sarah here was very dumb with her money. And now, look at her now. She's saving and spending. So smart. That's what I want for myself. So,
but I feel like you don't really live beyond your means, unlike moi.
Yeah. Well, true. That income is diversified.
Okay, whatever.
Anyway, so yeah, I started that. I'm still in a relationship with a lovely boy. He's very nice.
And I'm single as fuck, just down to hinge.
Look at the friggin' tables have turned so much. Like, I don't even recognize myself. I've been single for so long, like literally 6+ years. And now I have a boyfriend. I'm like, what do I even do with it? Do I walk it? Do I feed it? Like, what do you do? But
also, I'm like really embarrassed that I just admitted to the world that I,
whatever, the whole world is on dating apps, and that's because that's how things are. But you know,
I'm way too fucking cool for that shit. Like, no,
everyone is on dating apps. Celebrities are on dating apps. You just need to get on Raya and then you'll be great.
Okay, next step.
Yeah, Hinge is great, but like, yeah, this is how we're busy adults, and this is how we meet people these days. So yeah, things are good. Things are busy. But yeah, I heard this really great quote that it's like you only have 100% to give in your day. And I feel like things have been really off balanced. Like, it's been like literally like 80 job, 5% self, and like the other 5% like boyfriend or like family. So I'm glad
for
things.
Does he feel neglected? Does Wiley feel... Oh, sorry. I said his name.
Yeah. He unveiled... Unveiled the secret. But yeah, no, he doesn't feel neglected because he's busy too. He has a weird work schedule. But yeah, so I feel like now that things have cleared out and shifted into a new role, got rid of some other obligations, things can get back settled up, and now we can make podcast priority again.
Thank God. Our freaking audience is craving the chick chat. They are begging for content.
The content.
The most curated fucking content of the century.
Yeah. Well, we're happy to be back and we're happy to be talking some shit.
I feel like every single week, though, we're like, oh my God, we were on a hiatus. Like, oh, we're back at it again.
Stop sewering ourselves.
But I'm just saying, like, we got to get back on it for real. Like,
hey, well, we literally are on it.
Yeah.
Mics are on and we're talking.
Yeah.
Now, let's get to it.
Let's do it.
So, you guys, what is the 411? What has everybody been up to? What is the hot gossip? Tell me everything. What are you guys listening to? What's the cool jams?
Okay, kicking off this week's 411, reading what's up and coming in the headlines. A nice familiar face that we have not seen in a while, and it was great to see her. Our girl, and
Selena.
I love her. And my little angel, Selena Gomez.
Yes.
She posted to social media after, I guess she was a guest speaker, keynote speaker at...
It was the McLean's Hospital annual dinner in Boston, Massachusetts.
Yeah, and Selena came and she spoke out about her stay at the facility and her struggles with mental health last year.
Yes.
And what she underwent through the facility. Danielle, you have your glasses on. Can you read this quote?
Yeah, so she got candid about her mental health struggles, revealing that it was because of the support from the doctors that she was able to fully understand what she was going through. And she had been dealing with anxiety, panic attacks, and depressions basically her whole life. So after going to that hospital and dealing with all these different doctors, she was able to, like, I guess, learn why she was feeling the way she was feeling. Yeah. So,
and I think that the message she took to Instagram on her own, and she posted this really beautiful message. And I think she has a really good point here.
Yeah, so she said, I think we are all better when we tell our truth, and so this is my truth. Last year, I was suffering mentally and emotionally, and I wasn't able to stay all kept up and together. I wasn't able to keep a smile or keep things looking normal, and it felt like all my pain and anxiety washed over me all at once, and it was one of the scariest moments of my life. She said the doctors were able to give me a clear diagnosis. The moment I received that information, I actually felt equal parts terrified and relieved. Terrified, obviously, because the veil was lifted, but relieved that I finally had the knowledge of why I suffered for so many years with depression and anxiety. So it says that she faced her struggles head on, and she credited her mother for teaching her to face her fears rather than to run away from them. She actually sought out to get the help that she needed. I got educated. I talked to a lot of people that were suffering the same things, and I read a lot about it. And it was something that kind of took over, and I became very passionate about it.
Well, what I love about this is she's just... Go ahead.
So she says, I've met with some of the greatest doctors, and I've met with specialists, and I'm just fortunate enough to be able to work with some of the greatest doctors and psychiatrists and amazing people to help me personally through my journey. Although this doesn't mean that it has all gone away, I can say that after a year of a lot of intense work, that I'm happier, I'm healthier, and I'm in control of my emotions and thoughts more than I've ever been. So I'm very happy about that. So then the hospital thanked her. They said, thank you, Selena Gomez, for being so open about your mental health. Your bravery in seeking help and speaking out will inspire others to do the same.
Yeah, exactly. And what I was saying is, what I love about this is, her demo scale is very, very young, like teens from her Disney Channel days, and then very old because people like us who grew up watching her on the Disney Channel followed her music career and follow her acting career, and she's followed her dating life with Justin Bieber. Like, she has a very, yeah, like, a lot of people love and know Selena Gomez. So her, yeah, speaking out about mental health and encouraging people that they need to be honest and get help they need, I think that's a really positive message for her fans. Like, she's totally, young fans that are, don't know what's going on in their head, to kind of speak up and be like, totally, hey, I'm actually not okay, and like get the help they need instead of struggling and like maybe getting to a place where you can't go back.
Totally. And I feel like now with like the audience that watches her, they're so tuned into technology and social media and all that stuff, and I feel like it's so much more prominent than it ever has been before, but I also feel like there's so much more education on it that, yeah, it just feels like before, when our parents were probably struggling with it back in the day, they're like, oh, whatever, like, that's just life. And they didn't really understand what it was.
Literally, like, my grandparents' parents would just be like, that's the cost of living. That's the cost of living.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, yep, suck it up, keep going. But then that stays with them as adults, and yeah, it just kind of creates problems down the road. So,
because they never get the real treatment that they actually need, because no, yeah, one knows even, like, there's so many different like nuances to mental illness.
Of course. And I love that it's a better like public conversation now. But then again, yeah, I also feel like maybe it's a bit buzzworthy and people, mm-hmm, kind of abuse it a little bit.
Oh, too. Absolutely. Absolutely. People are definitely taking advantage, yeah, of it.
And especially like from the PR side of things, like I'm not, don't quote me on this, but saying that everyone's faking it, but I do think it's a buzzword and a lot of people are like, I have mental health, I have anxiety, I have this, I have that. And like they use that for publicity. But
and it's not even that though. Like it's like also the normalization of like Xanax and like, yeah, all these benzos and stuff. There's, yeah, so much pill pushing that's been normalized. Like how many memes have you seen on like Betches that are like,
yeah,
oh, like I'm just feeling this way because I skipped my antidepressants. He, 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 he. Like, yeah, all this stuff. Like
it's like Xanax cocktail, 5 o'clock somewhere.
100%.
Like, it is. It's been very normalized. So, which that has its pros and cons for people who actually need that. They're like, oh, maybe I don't have to, mm-hmm, hide this or be ashamed of what I'm going through. But then it's like, no, then we're getting a little bit abusive. And
totally. And then there's the normal people who are out there that are seeing like all this pill pushing stuff. And then they're like,
ooh, should I be
like,
on that?
Yeah, like they're like, ooh, like I see all this stuff on the internet, yeah, that's like normalizing antidepressants. Like, seems like everyone else is on them, like probably I should too.
Yeah, or even like
Adderall. And like another, like, thing is too, like,
Adderall to get skinny, like that's what people,
yeah, and there's another thing too, people, like this is like pretty ghetto-licious of me to say this, but there's like a thing called like Xanny bars.
What?
Where people like will take like a shit ton of like Xanax and they just like will drink on it and get like really messed up and black out. Like it's a thing. Like even if you don't need, like, people abuse benzodiazepines like crazy.
People probably abuse everything. I abused carbs a lot, but okay, that's the thing. I know, that's why, but it's true. And it's like, this is a fine line, because I love how mental illness is getting like justified into like the health, and like totally. It is an actual illness and people are justifying that, but also it is kind of very buzzword. That's all I mean to say by that. I'm not saying everyone's faking it. I'm just saying a lot more people are coming forward, which is great. Let's normalize it. But I hope everyone's doing it for the right reasons.
Totally.
And so, I feel like Selena is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Poor Selena.
Yeah. Well, in related to Selena, I just can never not get over these two and their connection, because her ex-boyfriend, Jay Biebs, also took to his social media with a very long winded
confession. This was pretty deep. I wonder if the two of them used to like cry together and like talk about their anxieties and stuff.
I know,
but anyway, so this is what he said. This is long. It's hard to get out of bed in the morning with the right attitude when you are overwhelmed with your life, your past, job, responsibilities, emotions, your family, finances, your relationship, aka life. Justin Biebs. So he says,
adulting.
No, but like actually, when it feels like there's trouble after trouble after trouble, you start foreseeing the day through lenses of dread and anticipate another bad day, a cycle of feeling disappointment after disappointment. Sometimes it can get to the point where you don't even want to live anymore, where you feel like it's never going to change. I can fully sympathize with you. I could not change my mindset. I am fortunate to have people in my life that continue to encourage me to keep going. You see, I have a lot of money, clothes, cars, accolades, achievements, awards, and I was still unfulfilled. Have you noticed the statistics of child stars and the outcome of their life? There is an insane pressure and responsibility put on a child whose brain, emotions, frontal lobes, decision-making aren't developed yet. No rationality, defiant, rebellious, things all of us have to go through. But when you add the pressure of stardom, it does something to you that is quite unexplainable. You see, I didn't grow up in a stable home. My parents were 18, separated with no money, still young and rebellious as well. As my talent progressed and I became ultra successful, it happened with a strand of 2 years. My whole world was flipped up on its head. I went from a 13-year-old boy from a small town to being praised left and right by the world of millions, saying how much they loved me and how great I was. I don't know about you, but humility comes with age. You hear these things enough as a young boy and you actually start to believe it. Rationality comes with age, and so does your decision-making process. One of the reasons you can't drink until you're 21. Everyone did everything for me, so I never even learned the fundamentals of responsibility. So by this point, I was 18 with no skills in the real world, with millions of dollars and access to whatever I wanted. This was a very scary concept for anyone. But by 20, I made every bad decision you could have thought of and went from one of the most loved and adored people in the world to the most ridiculed, judged, and hated person in the world. Being on stage, according to studies, is a bigger dopamine rush than almost any other activity. So these massive ups and downs on their own are very hard to manage. You notice a lot of touring bands and people end up having a phase of drug abuse, and I believe it's due to not being able to manage the huge ups and downs that come with being an entertainer. I started doing pretty heavy drugs at 19 and abused all of my relationships. I became resentful, disrespectful to women, and angry. I became distant to everyone who loved me and was hiding behind a shell of a person that I had become. I believe I could never turn it around. It's taken me years to bounce back from all of these terrible decisions, fix broken relationships, and change relationship habits. Luckily, God blessed me with extraordinary people who love me for me. Now I'm navigating the best season of my life, marriage, which is an amazing, crazy new responsibility. You learn patience, trust, commitment, kindness, humility, and all the things it looks like to be a good man. All of this to say, when the odds are against you, keep fighting. Be kind today, be bold today, and love people today, not by your standards, but by God's perfect, unfailing love.
Wow.
That was long.
That was long. Did you even take a breath there?
I tried to, but I think I died a little.
No, you did amazing. And honestly, I love this so much. And Bieber touches on a really big point. I think he has a really good point there. Like, the dopamine rush you get of being an entertainer, obviously, that is crazy. And, like dopamine, I think this is the same thing you get when you're in love and you're, like,
on this high. Yeah, like, orgasms and stuff. It gives you dopamine rush.
Totally. So, like, you're on a high of life. So, no wonder people chase... Okay, what is this horn in the background?
Can you guys hear this horn?
Literally a ship leaving the harbor.
Like, I live on the harbor front of Toronto.
Titanic and...
Harborfront living.
So Henny. Funny. I'm like, can this ship relax?
No, like, literally, like, it's leaving the harbor and it keeps beeping its little horn. We get it. You're leaving the harbor.
This ain't little. That's
enough.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I think that's actually very profound and very eloquently written by Justin and his PR team. But
literally, I bet you Haley wrote
it. Yeah. So exactly. Haley probably did write it. But honestly, it's great. Great message. And it's not going to clean you up your reputation overnight, but it's true. Like, that's why people do get addicted to drugs and things like that, because that's something that will keep them up all the time. And then obviously that's, it's not a natural to be that elevated.
Apparently I heard that when he was touring the last couple tours that he did, he looked really super depressed.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't even look like he was having fun on stage.
No, he wasn't. Cause he was a workhorse.
Yeah.
Like, his career started because he had fun doing music, and then and his parents started recording him and putting him on the internet. Do you think that was his decision?
Yeah, his parents completely exploited him.
Of course. And, like, he even said it. Like, he didn't come from a good background. I'm not judging everyone, but, like, and then he was career. He is talented. He's a great artist, but that's what Storm does. Like, look at all of the child stars. Selena is also a child star.
Demi Lovato
is also a child star.
Britney
Spears is also a child star. Like, it's hard. It's a hard life. But, like, it's like, we don't sympathize with them because, like, yeah, but you're a celebrity. You have millions of dollars. Like, you can throw money at the problem. But it's and then when you, like, take a step back and actually have some humility, you're like, okay, no, you're right. Behind all that, you're also a human. And suffering too, which, I mean, a lot of people, just nobodies on the street, can relate to exactly what he's saying as well. But I guess he has a bigger platform and status that he can say that, and people, he can spread the message a lot more too.
Speaking of humans, Britney has been controlled.
Britney, free freaking
free Britney.
Britney.
Britney's rebelling. She's rebelling, and it's a cry for help, and we all need to really acknowledge that she's, like...
Is she, though?
I feel like, because she's been controlled by her dad.
Okay, let's set this up. Set this up for us. Okay, Britney Spears has been under conservatorship for many, many years, which means that an attorney and her father control all of Britney's assets. They control all her money. They control all her contracts. They control all her management. They basically control her life. So I know we've all seen the new rise of Britney Spears' social media fame and all her dances and her fashion shows, which honestly, we freaking love to watch. Thank you for the great content, Britney. But as you do notice, you're like, this is a little bit too offside, that you're like, you don't seem... like, this is curated and all put together and strategic. It just seems kind of, like, flaily and a little bit obnoxious. So, what has been arising in the news is basically people are looking into this further and saying, like, hey, well, like, why is this happening? And Britney, we all know she's had her troubles in the past with mental health. We do know that she has been now, and the hashtag Free Britney has been circling around.
So, even Miley Cyrus, she shouted it out, I think, during one of her performances.
Yeah, so the reason why people are all concerned about her is because this conservatorship has been made public and come to life, and people are like, okay, why are you controlling her life? Blah, blah, blah. This is kind of scary. Dee, do you have any more info over there?
So it says Jamie Spears was appointed to watch over his
dad.
Yeah. His daughter's estate and physical well-being, while LA attorney Andrew Wallet was brought on as a co-conservator to help manage the singer's financial assets. Court documents show that Jamie Spears has the power to negotiate business opportunities, sell her properties, and restrict her visitors. He can file restraining orders against those he believes threaten the daughter's stability, and he oversees much of the minutiae MTA. What the heck does
minute.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Of Spears' life. Every purchase she makes must be logged in an annual court report of her spending.
Every purchase.
That's insane. According to law experts.
Her tampons, her friggin' coffees, her everything.
So it says, according to law experts, it is unusual for someone as young and productive as Spears to be in probate conservatorship, typically used to protect the old, infirm, and mentally disabled. They are intended for people who are not likely to get better and often remain in effect until the person dies. She's trapped for life.
Yeah. So this is clearly where the issue lies. This story has been made public and people are like, Brittany is fine. She is a functioning human, blah, blah, blah. Like, why is this restraint being put on her? Which is a bit excessive.
So it says her estate is immense and complicated to manage, so she could be subject to undue influence, a factor judges consider, along with mental capacity when dealing whether a conservatorship is a good fit. It's in quotes, I imagine a person with that kind of wealth would be attracting a lot of people towards them, many of whom may not have their best interest in mind, says psychologist Stacy Wood, an expert witness in probate conservatorship cases. This could protect them from that. So what, like maybe her boyfriend?
No, I mean, look at her past relationship.
Yeah, fair. Okay, fair. Looking Kevin Federlein.
Yeah, look at her baby daddy.
Yeah, who now has 70%
custody,
which
over
is
the kids.
Wild. And like the amount of money she pays him every single month for child support is offensive.
It's insane.
Like, oh my God.
It's pretty wild. And Brittany did have a scare this past spring, was it, when she had to go back into a facility because her meds stopped working. That became public knowledge, and that's when the first round of the hashtag Free Brittany really came to light, where her fans started rallying around her and like protesting outside the facility and like sending crazy threats to her family, being like, Free Brittany, leave Brittany alone. She does have a really good support base in that sense from her fans. But do you think that this is insane?
So it says, what really gave Free Britney's hashtag momentum, though, was a voicemail left on a podcast hotline called, it's called Britney's Gram. So it says, in the message, a man identifying himself as a former paralegal for an attorney who spoke with Spears conservatorship claimed that the singer's father was involved in getting her to drop her Las Vegas residency. He also made a series of other allegations and raised concern about her personal autonomy. The podcaster said they confirmed the source's identity and his alleged position at the firm. The Times could not identify or verify that the voicemail was authentic or that the claims were true. Free Britney was trending on Twitter the day after the podcast had dropped. Fans stormed Spears' socials accounts with the hashtag demanding she be released from what they were convinced was a court-sanctioned prison.
Oh my God.
Crazy. It's hard to assess
Power
the size
podcasts.
Of the movement, but hashtag Free Britney was enough of a problem for her camp that in June, Jamie Spears sued Absolute Britney blogger Anthony Elia, accusing him of spreading false and defamatory information in the name of Free Britney movement. Enough is enough, the complaint declared. A week after the podcast release, Spears attempted to reassure her fans through an Instagram post that all was well, she just needed some privacy.
Hi guys, just checking in with all of you who are concerned about me. All is well. My family has been going through a lot of stress and anxiety lately, so I just needed time to deal. But don't worry, I'll be back very soon.
This is obviously a farce.
Yeah, her camp's like, you need to say something.
No,
hurry.
They're like, you better tell them you're fine.
Yeah.
Tell them you're fine. I don't know.
This is intense. But
so back to the whole Kevin Federline thing. So apparently he said that the father was abusing one of the children or something.
Yeah, the grandfather that Jamie Spears was
He
abusing.
Like shook one of the boys, so he did a restraining order against him.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama going on there.
So wild. But yeah, it's a lot.
It is a lot. But honestly, we've family seen drama. A lot of family drama. We've seen Britney spiral out of control in the past. Do you think that she should have some kind of guardian that's monitoring her assets? Because she... Sorry, I'm going to be frank here. She's rogue. She's gone rogue.
No, she has.
Her Instagram is like... What are you doing? It's like there's no counsel there. She is gone rogue. Is that a cry for help? Or is it like this... Maybe there's some legitimacy here and like, why we should be... Like,
half of her social media stuff, like the amount of engagement that she gets, like I don't think it's because people are genuinely like, yeah, Britney, like I think they're just like, lol, here's Britney being herself again, like,
yeah, it's like kind of like she's gotten so much media and her like dance videos and all this stuff,
but like, I don't think it's viral. Because they like it, they're like laughing at her.
Yeah, it's not good. But then you have to kind of look through that and be like, wait, is this actually like, are we just making fun of someone who's like in a lot of trouble right now? No, or for sure. Because I'm not going to lie, I've been the one that being like, what is this? This is hilarious, and laughed and thought this was amazing. But then as time goes on, I'm like, wait, no, this is actually like scary. And I'm like, Britney is not okay.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of family drama.
Oh, yeah.
And going way back with the music.
Nine.
Yep. Nick Carter. He's coming after Aaron Carter.
Yeah. The Carters are fighting, which is actually very sad.
So he tweeted out, after careful consideration, my sister Angel and I regret that we require to seek a restraining order against our brother Aaron today. In light of Aaron's increasingly alarming behavior and his recent confession that he harbors thoughts and intentions of killing my pregnant wife and unborn child, we were left with no choice but to take every measure possible to protect ourselves and our family. We love our brother and truly hope he gets the proper treatment he needs before any harm comes to himself or anyone else. Hashtag mental health. Hashtag gun control now. Hashtag gun control.
Oh my God. Kay, what?
I know.
That's so scary.
I know. So then TMZ reports that Aaron has to stay at least 100 feet away from Nick, Nick's wife, and their kids and other family members. According to TMZ, which obtained a copy of the restraining order, Aaron was talking to his twin sister Angel via FaceTime in August and was told that he was diagnosed with schizophrenia and bipolarness 2 years ago. He also said he heard voices in his head that told him to kill babies. I have thought about killing babies, he reportedly said. I think about killing Lauren, Nick's pregnant wife. Which is
what?
So terrifying.
Oh my God.
So Aaron Carter tweets back to the Nick Carter tweet. He says, I am astounded at the accusations being made against me, and I do not wish to harm anyone, especially my family. He says, where is Rose McCogan when you need her? Hashtag cover up. I'm here for these women. My sister raped me from the age 10 to 13 years old when she wasn't on her medications. I was abused not only sexually, but by her, but by my first two backup dancers when I was 8 years old, and my brother abused me my whole life.
What?
What? What is Aaron even...
This is all on Twitter.
Yeah. These are like some crazy accusations. So he said, I was 13. Look at my brother's face before he broke my nose with a pie at the Kids' Choice Awards during my acceptance speech. He's bullying these women with power and money, and now I'm back. I'm powerful and wealthy and healthy. Nick cannot stop his own reckoning. And then it's like, that does look extremely aggressive. Smashing anything into someone's face like that is only funny if done gently. That seems like it was done with real animosity rather than as a joke. Aaron Carter says, I haven't seen my brother in 4 years and I don't intend to. Take care at Nick Carter. We're done for life. So the official diagnosis that Aaron Carter suffers with multiple personality disorder, schizophrenia, acute anxiety, manic depressive. So he told this to the doctors on the doctor's show. He said he's prescribed Xanax, Seroquel, Gabapentin, Hydrodoxazine, Trazodone, Omeprazole. I don't know. So a lot of those, I guess, are like benzodiazepines. So he held up a large prescription of drugs and said, this is my reality. I have nothing to hide. So it said, while on the show, Aaron also admitted to having an addiction to huffing. So It says, I was huffing because I was really fucking stupid and sad, but this is really no excuse. I was huffing because I was a drug addict. So he said he started when he was 16. I didn't really touch it until I was about 23, right after I did Dancing with the Stars, and started going to Staples and Office Depot and different places, buying it with cash so it couldn't be reported on receipts or anything like that, so no one could trace me.
What is huffing?
I think it's like when you huff glue.
And like permanent markers. And
yeah. Stuff. Wow. Like, does that really get you high?
Yeah.
That's crazy. But anyway,
I don't know.
In summation,
holy fluke,
this has been 30 minutes.
There's a lot going on.
There's just a lot of mental health out there. So honestly, people, be honest with your emotions. If you need help, ask for it. Talk to somebody. We both have a therapist, and she's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
The silent generation, baby boomers, Gen X. These generations have all had their time in the sun, but there's a new flock on the horizon. The millennials.
So, going off of the last little segment, we wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about social media anxiety and how prevalent it is in today's society.
Especially among us millennials.
The millennials. Damn those fucking millennials.
Yes, and this is definitely a new concept that's probably out and about and something that people can definitely relate to. I know I can.
Yeah.
Danielle, you can totally. As well. So, what is social media anxiety, you might add or say? Fuck me. Social media anxiety is defined as a feeling of stress or discomfort related to the use of social media, often due to intense focus on the level of popularity someone thinks they have achieved or failed to achieve on platforms like Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. A related phrase is a social media anxiety disorder, which denotes a level of distress relating to how someone is perceived by others on social media that is particularly intense or prolonged. There is no official medical label for social media anxiety disorder. It's not a disease per se. It's just a description of an intense anxiety related to the heavy use of social media.
And then there's another element of it too that is like, do you get anxious when you can't check your Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram? So the lack and the FOMO of social media
and the attachment we have to it
is also
something that induces a lot of anxiety, but it's something we also feel a lot of anxiety if we don't have access to.
Totally. And so this article that I'm looking at, so it was like, here are some of the most common symptoms of social media anxiety disorder. So it's like interrupting conversations to check your social media accounts. That's totally you and me. It's like we literally will just like go silent and like smiling at our phone. And I'm like, what? Yeah. And you're like, oh, nothing.
It's a meme.
Or like whatever. Lying to others about how much time you spend on social media. Withdrawals from friend and family. Trying to stop or reduce your use of social media more than once before without being successful. So it's being like, I'm going to quit Instagram. I'm deleting my Instagram account and like, then coming back.
So many times deleted my Instagram and be like, oh, fuck, what's going on? And
or if you delete your personal and then you have work accounts and then you're just like lurking on every other thing.
Then, like, so basically I'm a farce. Yeah.
Anyway, it goes on, but.
So one of the reasons why scientists believe that this is such a thing is because we are wired for attention and approval as human beings. That is in our DNA. That's something we need to
survive. Validation.
So research has shown that human beings are innately motivated to crave social approval from other people, a trait which provides a foundation for studying how these attention cravings are playing out on the relatively new tools of social media. Electronic communication forms such as social media provide a natural breeding ground for activities designed to help people seek attention and gain approval from others. They also provide a foundation for feelings of rejection and dismay when people feel they are less popular than others, or worse, that they are being rejected by their peers. Researchers have been conducting studies on the various ways people seek approval online and measure how they are being judged on social media in particular. They are not analyzing, not only motives in posting, tweeting, and psychological reactions in the results of these activities. Some analysts think people are increasingly measuring their self-worth or even defining their identity on the metrics of social media popularity. And this is how many likes their profile picture gets on Facebook, how many retweets their quips get on Twitter, and how many follows they have on Instagram. Related phases of this phenomenon include FOMA, hashtag FOMA, F-O-M-A, a popular hashtag, an acronym that refers to the fear of missing out.
I thought it was FOMO.
It is, but these people are really... Facebook addiction also appears to be a growing phenomenon along with social network addiction. Yeah, these people are old.
Yeah.
It's FOMO, not FOMA.
Anyway, another thing too, so with Instagram removing the likes, like all that stuff, so it's like, we can't blame Instagram for all of our self-esteem issues. There's no denying that the decision of them, like, removing the likes could have a positive impact on the way that we use social media and the way that they're trying to tailor it, and that it's going more towards like content creation and like you're getting likes for the actual content that you're sharing versus like your actual personal popularity. I don't know, like social media, like irregardless of what the public sees, like you still know if, for example, if you're a business profile or a creator's profile. So for example, me, I chose to go business profile just because I wanted to see our likes and like our analytics and stuff like that. When we had posted one of our pictures from when I launched about the Chick Chat, it was the one of us like on the bed, like with the pillow and like you on the phone. Literally like 7 people shared it with other people. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Who are these people sharing our photo?
And we didn't get any like, oh my god, this is amazing comments or groups of
praise. Was like it came from like clearly, a very negative place.
Yeah, so clearly it was people talking shit about us.
I was like, who the fuck are you? Like, what are you doing with your life? So like, it's like, hater.
We have a little bit too much access to this information that is
100%.
It's like too much information. So it's like you can literally see these many people like you, these many people are talking about shit about you in a group chat. These are many people saved you
totally.
Because they want to masturbate to you later. Like, it's too much information. And
yeah.
People know that information. They can internalize it and be like, wow, this gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
Or, oh my God, I feel amazing because this many people are validating me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, holy fuck, I'm depressed because this many people are talking shit about me.
Or I didn't get X amount of likes.
Because these people are going to these many stalkers are saving my pictures.
And also there's another thing too that comes with anxiety with like, say for example, like when you post stories, like there's so many memes that are like, I only post stories for like the one person that I want to see the stories.
You're like, I only post, yeah, for the...
And then when the person doesn't watch your stories, you're like, why aren't they watching?
Exactly, that guy you like.
It becomes an obsession.
Or your friend you're in a fight with, be like, let's see if she still hates me.
Like, I want them to see my story. Ha, ha, ha. Like,
or you do it as bait. You're like, I'm going to post this to see if they still think I'm hot or if my friend's still pissed at me.
Or like, I need to post a hot pic to get the DMs or something. Like,
yeah, or be like, oh, I really want to hook up with this guy later. I'm gonna post this hot pic as
like thirst he'll totally yeah thirst trap totally yeah,
thirst trap is real.
It's 100%.
Social media is strategic, and it's definitely a tool we use for communication and
plan of attacks.
Yeah, and interactions and
sliding into the DMs.
They say Instagram is like the biggest dating app.
It really is, people, honestly.
You posting, you hashtag, you become searchable. People find you. They slide into your DMs. They're like, hey, you look really hot in that pic. Starts conversation. Maybe you like, there's window tapping when people go on your profile and they like a bunch of your photos at once. And then just so you're like, yeah, whoa, who's this person?
And a lot of celebrities and have then been caught doing that.
You slide into their DMs and it starts conversation. Then you guys get to know each other. You meet up and then you start dating or not. It's a thing. Yeah, that's a lot helps out a lot of celebrities. Like,
and then there's chicks. Like the friends too that like you're not really friends with who just like comment on all your pics and they're like, yes, woo. Like they're like your cheerleaders, but you haven't seen them in years. Like, you're like each other's cheerleaders.
About my life. And you're like, oh my God, you look like, so yes, hot. Love
so
you.
Beautiful.
You're like, an angel. Yes, babe. Oh my God. Are you even real? Fire emoji, fire emoji, fire emoji.
Fire emoji, double emoji, double emoji, double emoji. Double emoji.
I know. Whoa. But social media anxiety is real. You get it when you delete it because you're not on it, and you get it when you're on it because people are judging you to your face.
Yes. So in closing, we have a little note from our friend Camila Cabello.
Some life advice, if you will.
Yes. So Camila Cabello. So she said, really wanted to send love to everyone in here. I don't go on social media that much because it's not good for me. And I don't know how to not be affected by what people say on here. So I just don't read it. But I'm not totally aware that I can use this
thing on. Sorry, keep going.
But I'm totally aware that I can use this platform to help people even in small ways.
Your publicist told you to do it.
Yeah. So to anyone out here who is struggling, which we all do sometimes because we're human, I super recommend 5 minutes out of your day just to breathe. I've been doing this lately and it's helped me so much. I didn't understand meditation before or the concept of just noticing your breath. But I've been doing it the past few months and I can feel the quality of my life improving. I used to live so much in my head, constantly trapped in my overthinking and being in my head as opposed to being present in the moment. And lately, just going back to my breath and focusing puts me back in my body and back in the present and helps me so much. I can't even stop it. So Camila Cabello says, take 5 minutes out of your day today just to inhale 5 minutes, for 5 seconds through your nose and exhale 5 seconds through your mouth and super focus on your breath and how it's coming in and out of your nostrils. Do it 3 times a day whenever you feel or whenever you're getting overwhelmed. I know lots of us on here growing up and learning how to be a human, LOL. And that can be intense and hard sometimes. I think some tools are really life-changing and how you help to do that to be better. So I just thought I'd share something that's really helped me and hopefully it helps you guys. Anyway, love you. See you soon. Devil emoji, devil emoji, devil emoji, devil emoji.
Thank you so much.
Camila Cabello.
Thank you so much for that concept. I've never thought to breathe, so I'm going to try it.
Yep.
Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. So, anyways, guys, you heard it here first. We're all nuts. We all have anxiety. And we're all addicted to social media.
Love it. Anyway, tell us how you feel. Slide into our DMs. We love DMs.
Yeah.
Because we're addicted to social fucking media.
Yeah, and don't be a dick or we'll get anxiety.
And also, we'll fucking block you, okay? Yeah, bye, XOXO.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Yeah.